But 1 Kings chapter number 17, I want to begin reading in verse number 1, just for a few verses, and then we'll have you be seated. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. And it came to pass that after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Thank you. May be seated. Father, we come to you in prayer one more time. Lord, we just ask God, Jill, just put your blessings upon the message this evening. We just thank you, Lord, for Brother Vinoy and the people of God here at Bible Way. We've grown to love the people, and we thank you for them. And we ask, Lord, Father, that you'll help us tonight as we try to endeavor to preach. Lord, you do the preaching tonight. I just want to be the mouthpiece. Oh, Father, we pray that you'll help us. Help us to glean something. If just one thing is said tonight, Lord, that would I feel like I would accomplish something. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Before we get right into chapter number 17, I want to go back into chapter number 16 just a little bit and see what's taking place. But if you'll look at verse number 25, the Bible says, But Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all. I want you to grab a hold of this. A couple of things I want you to draw out of chapter number 16. Omri wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord. Look at here. He did worse than all that were before him. He did worse. What did he do? He walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and his sins wherewith he made Israel to sin, to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Well, we also, right after that, when Omri died, there, right here we see Ahab in verse number 30. Look at here. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord. Listen, above all that were before him. So it seemed like every leader was getting worse and worse and worse. Look what he did. It came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son. And Jeroboam was one of these wicked kings, the son of Nebat. Look here. That he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Now it's just amazing. We were just talking about this the other night, how anyone could name their daughter Jezebel. I wouldn't even name my dog Jezebel. God help you if you name your kids Jezebel. But such a wicked woman, a wicked king. And look at verse 32. He reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. But he kept going on and kept going on, and seemed like the times was getting tough. You know, it just lets me just kind of in on a little bit of what's going on in America. As the days are progressing, seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. But you come into chapter number 17, God's trying to send some grace to these people. And when he said, and Elijah, all of a sudden, coming into chapter number 17, it said, and Elijah the Tishbite. And we're going to look at Elijah the Tishbite tonight as he starts his private ministry that's going on. All of a sudden, you've got Ahab and Jezebel. I could just picture it. They're in their home that day, or in the castle, and all of a sudden, there's Elijah going to talk. He's going to talk with Ahab and Jezebel. Look at verse number 1 again. Who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall he, here he's what he's going, what Elijah's doing to old Ahab. He's giving the weather report. He's just letting him know there's not going to be any rain until, but according to my word. When I give the word, rain's going to fall again. And that just reminded me of James chapter number 5, where Elijah, with that's that same man Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So he was just letting Ahab in on a little bit of secret. Hey, dude, it's not going to rain. There's going to be a drought coming our way here in this. But what you'll also find, just as he showed up at Ahab's house, he left Ahab's house. And right here in verse number 2, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, he said, I want you to go down to the brook Cherith. I want you to hide yourself. So here we see Elijah's getting ready to go into his private ministry. And what I want to draw your attention to tonight is what some things, some lessons that you can learn. And I believe we can learn the same thing Elijah did, that we can learn by sitting around the brook of Cherith. So here's some lessons to learn by the brook. So what Elijah did that day, this time when he's hiding himself, this private ministry, and it very well could be that God said, I want you out of here, because, you know, no doubt Ahab is going to try to kill him. No doubt Ahab is going to have his head. But he said, I want you to hide yourself. I want you to learn some things before we send you out in your public ministry. And a lot of times God wants to do us that way. He wants you to get away, find you a place, a secret place, and just get alone with him in the quiet stillness of your study, your home, that prayer place. Maybe you've got a place up in a mountain and you go to pray. Hey man, I remember old brother Coy Patterson, dear preacher. He had that place up behind his house on Goshen Valley. I had an opportunity to actually go up there and get to pray at that. It was a stump that where that man of God spent many times praying. And that was his quiet time. So I just wonder, do we have a place where we could go to get away from, just turn the cell phones off, lock the doors, turn out the lights, send your family to the grocery store, wherever. I just have to be alone with God, spend some time. And that's what God got him hemmed up by the brook. There's some lessons that we can learn also out of this. And I just started reading and started writing some things down and studying it, looking at it, and it's just some simple thoughts. This is almost as simple as me to falling off this platform tonight. I'm about embarrassed to give you this little Sunday school lesson, but I hope it'll just charge us. Because I think what, Brother Jason, what we're missing in our Baptist churches is that we're missing the basic stuff. We're missing the fundamentals of the Scriptures. It just seems that God's told us and God's promised us, but we're missing it. Our mind gets to going crazy, and we get to wondering, God, what are you doing? And I can imagine, I just wonder if Elijah was saying the same thing. What have you got me down here for? And I'll give you a few things here. I want you to see it. So here Elijah's been took to the Brook School of Learning tonight. And I want you to see this. First thing I want you to see, and he brought it out and he even said it to Elijah. He said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He's just being reminded here at the Brook School of Learning, one of the lessons to just remember, and I think we can be reminded of this, is to remember our God is alive. Just to remember our God is alive. And he had to rely on that truth, even though he told Ahab, as the Lord God liveth. He had to keep that in his mind. And sometimes, Brother Gary, we're taught and we're preached to that our God's alive. But sometimes when we get in a situation and we get to wonder, God, where in the world are you at? We get to wondering, God, have you died on me? But as long as the Lord God liveth, for whom I stand, boy, I'm glad for this. I've got it written in my Bible. As long as He's alive, He can provide. And I'm glad He's alive and well today. Well, unlike so many, you go into Psalms 115. I was going to go read that, but I trust you. Psalms chapter number 115, beginning around verse number 15, is talking about those idols. They've got eyes and they've got ears and they've got hands. These dummy idols that they've got made and that they worship in idolatry. Oh, they've got ears, but they can't hear. That's what's so amazing. And it's so sad that in a lot of foreign countries, Brother Taylor, in a lot of foreign countries, this is what they're worshiping. This is what they're relying on. Idols of dogs and idols of the sun, and that's what they worship. Boy, we take it for granted. We take it for granted right here in the Bible Belt of East Tennessee. We take it so for granted that we've got the opportunity that we can worship a living God. So that's one thing that we just need to be remembering, that remember our God is alive, and I'm glad He's alive tonight. Like the old song we sing around Easter time, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. I brought Him in here this afternoon. When I come through the door, He came with me. And if you're saved today, He come with you. Hey, man. He's alive and well. So that's just one thing. That's just one simple truth that we can learn at the Brooks School of Learning. But I want you to also notice, I want you to see right here, to remember to listen to His voice. There's a lot of voices going on in the spirituality today. And I just wonder what voice that we listen to. And looking at verse number 2, the word of the Lord came unto him. The word of the Lord came unto him, and He told him what He wanted him to do. But the one thing about it, when you need to be listening to God, He's desiring you to keep listening to it, keep learning from Him. He's leading you. He's guiding you. Sometimes we don't understand where He's leading us. Sometimes we don't understand what are you up to? But at your word, nevertheless, I think it's in the gospel. Nevertheless, at thy word, that's where they let down the net. We fished all night, but nevertheless, at your word, at the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The problem, a lot of people are not listening to the voice of God because they're not reading His Word. I heard this statement years ago. You show me your relationship to this book, I'll show you your relationship to God. Because this is what we need. This is what is going to help us to grow by. So we need to just remember to listen to His voice. He wants us to trust Him. I don't know. And Elijah was, I know he was made up of a human flesh as well. Maybe he questioned, "What God, what are you doing? Why are you wanting me to go down here?" But nevertheless, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. You said for me to go, I'm going to go. But also, you need to also remember, boy, I'm glad, thank God, our God's big enough to handle anything we go through. But I want you to also remember, in this Brook School of Learning, this lesson that we can learn by the brook, to remember that God led him there. Elijah, he was the one. He said he listened to the voice. God led him there. This was a divine appointment that come from God Almighty. He said, but look at here at verse number 3, said, "Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook." He told him an exact place. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're wanting to find out what the specific will of God is for your life, He will give you that place. He will tell you exactly where He wants you to be. And here it is, he wanted him to go to Cherith. And I want you to look, I'm going to have you look at that definition of Cherith here just a little while when I get there. But I want you to see, it was a divine appointment. God wanted him to hide himself, wanted to get him away. He wanted to teach him some things. Now what you'll find several times, what you'll find several times, and Jesus done the disciples that way. He taught them some things. Sermon on the Mount. And guess what happened after the Sermon on the Mount? He put them to some test. Case in point. He was the disciples was on the Sea of Galilee. Some things that he taught them, and all of a sudden he's going to teach them some lessons. So it very well be that when God had Elijah here at this school of learning, he wanted to teach him the things because he knew down the road he's going to need some of these lessons. He's wanting to teach us that coming on down the road, we're going to need some of these things to remember our God's alive, to remember to listen to his voice. How many of us, and I include me, how many of us has got in trouble because we did not listen to the voice of God? Amen. Brother Jason's probably the only one told the truth right there. But now I just listen. God is wanting us, and to remember that God, when God leads us, and you know how many times, I've got it written right here, how many times did Jesus get alone? He got alone to pray. And I guarantee Elijah done a lot of praying. Guarantee it. Of course, what was that verse I read? He was a man subject to like passion. He prayed earnestly. We're not seeing things done because we're not praying. Amen. The greatest source that we have that we do so little of, and I definitely won't have your hands raised here, but we know we're supposed to be praying. We're not praying. We're just not doing the things that we know. But this was a perfect will of God for Elijah. This was where God wanted him at a specific time. Because look at verse number 4. It shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. He'd already lined it up. He'd already told him what he needed him to do. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. Look at that five-letter word there. And you'll go on, if you go on into verse number 9, the lady with Zarephath, there. I've commanded the ravens. I've commanded the widow lady to feed you there. He said, I'm going to take care of it. And that's what's going to lead me into this fourth point, to remember God's with you. He's not going to leave you alone. Here Elijah, humanly speaking, he was alone by the brook. He was alone, but there was one that there was with him. And sometimes I get like this, I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like I'm all alone. But it just lets me know that I have a God in heaven. He's going to be with me. The old song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. I'm glad to know, thank God, that He's with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I'm low always. I'll be with you even until the end of the world. Amen. He didn't leave him alone. But if you'll look at verse number 3, it said, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. This word Cherith, I said I'd give you the definition. This word Cherith means to cut away. To cut up, to cut off, to cut out. Can you imagine? It might just be, Brother Steve, that Elijah had some rough edges in his life. It might just be that God set him aside for just a little while to cut some things away in his life. And that's the way God does us sometimes. You know, I'm still a work in progress. God's still cutting away things in my life. And any Christian, you are to say the same thing. When he gets done with you, and it gets through cutting away, it may be you're out of here. Because until I'm out of here, I'm still going to be a work in progress. I'm still going to be having to some things cut out of my life. That's the reason it's important. And some things you don't really realize it, especially like a new convert. They're new with this thing. They don't really realize how they're supposed to live and how they're supposed to act and how to be a be Christ-like as a newborn babe in Christ.
but finding out the Word of God, and the Word of God is that mirror. You get dirty, and you go into the bathroom, and you say, "Whoo! Where did all that come from?" So you know you've got to clean up. You've got to clean your life. You've got to clean your face because you've got some dirt on it. Just like your life, you may have some dirt going on down deep inside. And God says, "I want you to take the mirror of the Word of God and find out what's going on in your life and apply it to your life and cut it away. Get it out of your life." That's what God wants to do. But just remembering God's with you. Even when He's cutting away things, He said, I'm doing it for your benefit. I'm doing it to help you. I'm doing this so that you can be a stronger Christian because the battle's rough. I'm just going to be honest with you. The battle's rough out there. And God wants you to become more like Christ. I mean, you could even go to Romans chapter number 8 and 28, where it says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, them called according to His purpose." But we forget about verse number 29. He wants to conform us to the image of His Son. So if it takes this being cut off, if it takes this being cut off so that I could be more like Christ, so be it. That's a mouthful right there. Say, "God, whatever it takes." The old song, "Whatever it takes to help me to draw closer." Because you know if we draw nigh to God, He said He'd draw nigh to us. But He also promised us that He'd be with us. So there was something else that He had to learn here at this Brooks School of Learning. A lesson while He was spending time by the brook. He had to realize that God was with Him. We find that here at this brook, this is a place of communion. How many times that Him and God probably had a conversation. And maybe Elijah was telling Him something. But I guarantee you, it don't pin them all down, because I guarantee the book would not hold everything that God wanted to tell Him while He was by the brook. Here was a place of seclusion. "I want you out, and I done dealt with that." Here's a place of separation. "I want you to get away from this world. I want you to get away, because I want to teach you something." I thought about this coming up the road. They did Moses the same way. They sent him up backside of the desert to Desert University. Done the same thing. The Apostle Paul, as I found out, he had to go to the school of the Arabia and learn some things. That's the way God does us. Don't we, those in school, those in college, you have a week's worth or a couple of weeks of lessons. They teach you something. But guess what always ends up coming up after the lesson? There's always test day. So put your books up, get your paper out, it's test time. And it very well, God was going to put him through some tests. Case in point, the Battle of Mount Carmel. And I'm just wondering, I think it's in chapter 18, chapter number 19, but it's talking about, I just wonder, when it come up on that great battle with the prophets of Baal, if he got to remember him, Brother Jason, back to what he had learned at the brook. Maybe one of those lessons. Maybe he had to think, "I know God's alive. Oh, I talked to him this morning. I know God's alive. And I know to listen to his voice. I know he's with me. These prophets of Baal, they're going to try to trick me. They're trying to tell me to do this and do that. But I know you're with me. I that's something you taught me." Oh, and I'm going back to number 3. You're not there by accident. Because it took somebody. It was going to take somebody that was going to stand up for God. It was going to take somebody that was taught in the school that he's going to go to battle for our God. I know years ago, Brother Charles Long, he preached a message. It was actually a series on TTH. I never forget it. TTH. You say, "Brother Craig, what's that stand for?" I want everybody to write it in their Bible. T-T-H. Totally trust Him. Ain't that so simple? Just to totally trust Him. And that's what he was doing. He was remembering. He was just remembering some things. He was learning some things. Also, I want you to see right here that he wants us to do this. We're applying this to our life as we're trying to learn something. As we spend time in the Word, as we spend time listening to the man of God, as we spend time in Sunday school, it's just learning some things. And I say this often, page number 6 in the red back hymnal, I want to know more about my Lord. And if it's taken me to the Brook School of Learning, if it's putting me on the backside of a desert, if it's putting me somewhere that I could just learn more about Him, that I can know this next thing's just to remember God's promises. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you. He told him something. This was what God said. Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself. Look at verse number 4. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I'm putting you out at the brook. I'm giving you something naturally. Get a hold of this. Naturally, I'm going to give you water. But I'm going to use something supernaturally. I'm going to have the ravens. Hey, Elijah, you don't have to worry about these ravens. I've already commanded them. I've already talked to the ravens. And if you'll go with me back into the Old Testament, Brother Jason, I know you know this, but ravens was an unclean animal. And God's God. He could use whatever He wants to. Whether it's an animal such as a rooster, such as a donkey, he can use anything he wants to. And he was just letting Elijah know. He said, I've already commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want you there. That's the specific place for you in this moment of time. I want you there. Look what he did. When God spoke, he obeyed. And he remembered God's promises, did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt. Verse number 6, ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening. He drank of the brook. Also, what you'll see, another lesson you'll see right here at the brook, you'll also remember his blessings. Right here in verse number 6. God didn't just put Elijah out there at the brook. Like some of these TV shows. I know I'm getting carnal right here. But some of these TV shows where they throw you out on the island and you've got to be the survivor. You've got to find your own food. You've got to cook your own food. You've got to find a water source. You've got to try to survive. But I'm glad, thank God, that he blessed Elijah because he was obedient. Many times, come on now, I'm getting it right here. Many times we're missing out on the blessings of God because we're not listening, we're not obeying God's command. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh. He enjoyed these provisions. Daily he would wake up. Here he was in the morning. He'd go throughout his day, and then here comes the ravens. Here comes the ravens, just like God said. Wake up in the morning, start stretching. He could hear them coming. Here comes the provisions. He enjoyed the provisions. He wasn't left alone. God was with him, and God was taking care of him. Here he was. He experienced a kind, loving God that took care of him because he was doing God's will. But he also did exceedingly abundantly supply. He supplied to him so much in the mornings and evening. And still, there's that brook. There's that brook. It's still babbling right down through there. He still was able to his essential supplies on a regular basis. He was remembering his blessing. That's the way we need to do. Thanksgiving. I know it just comes up 1 month of the year. But for a child of God, 365 days of the year, we should be thankful. Give the Lord praise. Give Him thanks. Worship Him for who He is, what He done for us, how He's blessed us beyond, numerous blessings. He exceedingly abundantly He's blessed. He's blessed me. Everything we need, everything I have, Brother Steve, everything I have is because of Him. You say, well, I work to get what I need. Yeah, but who woke you up that day? Brother Justin, who woke you up this morning that you could go to work? He wakes me up so I could go to work and supply for that family. How blessed I am. I'm just a blessed man. You want to see somebody that's blessed? Take a look right up here at the pulpit. I'm truly blessed. And I don't want to ever forget to give Him praise. Amen. But I want you to notice. I want you to listen to this. I'm going to ask you a question. Verse number 7. It came to pass that after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. Now let me give you the last thing. Remember, and y'all, we know this, we hear it all the time. Remember that when God closes the door on one thing, He has another. Until He's done with us on this earth, He's wanting us to keep following His commands. Keep following. Elijah, he closed the door on the brook. And let me ask you, I know he was at this brook school of learning. He was learning some things. But the brook dried up. Let me ask you this question. What are you going to do when the brook dries up? While we've got the brook, while we're learning from the brook, are we going to keep these things in our minds? Because the brook, many times, the brook will dry up in our life. But when He closes that door and the brook dries up, He's going to lead us on. When He's through with us right here, He's going to lead us on. You just follow His path. You follow His leading. Find out where, God, You want me next. You've done and closed this door. You're going to open up another one. Look at verse number 8. The word of the Lord came unto him. He said, I've heard this voice before. This is a familiar voice to me. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, dwell there. There. There's that five-letter word. Behold, I've commanded. I commanded the ravens to take care of you. That's all gone now. I'm going to keep leading you, keep guiding you. He said, behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to stain thee. And you've seen the woman. She did all, and I'm not going into that story. I encourage you to read that. But what are you going to do when the brook dries up in your life? There's three things. This is not my outline, but I added to it. But what we've seen, faith in what God can accomplish. The purpose in Elijah. He wanted to accomplish some things in the life of Elijah. He wants to accomplish some things in our lives. And it may be that he sends us to the brook, gets us alone. We also seen that faith in God can also alter the plans for Elijah. It might just be that when verse number 1 where it said, and Elijah the Tishbite, maybe when he thought, well, I'm going into Ahab and then I'm going back to the house, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. But it just got to the place where God altered the plans for Elijah. And sometimes it might be that in our lives, Case in point, the Seaboat family a little over a year ago. My plans changed. What I thought, Brother Justin, what I thought was going to be years, Brother Justin, but the plans got altered. Sometimes God alters our plans. But I want you to notice faith in what God can. He can also administer. And just like He did, He will administer, here it is, provisions for Elijah. And it's the same God. The same God as in 1 Kings chapter number 17. The same God, Brother Ralph, is the same God today. The same God in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. He's that same one. He's that same one that provides for me. He's that same one that takes care of me. I'm thankful. He wants to accomplish some things. There are times when He will alter your plan. But if He does, He's going to administer some provisions for us. I hope tonight we've learned. I know it's not good English, Miss Eve. We've been taught some things. And I hope we're getting it. They're just basic. They're fundamentals of the truths of the Word of God. Father, we come to You in prayer. I want to thank You, Lord Jesus, for giving us another opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk. And Father, I do not take this opportunity lightly. I thank You for the friendship of this pastor for many years. Thank You for our friendship and the love that we have, and I know that Brother Rick and Miss Eve have for me and my family. I want to thank You for those in attendance, and I appreciate them. Thank You, Lord, for them. I'm asking God that You'll continue to bless, continue to move. Souls be saved, lives be changed. The young people that You blessed this church with, I'm asking, Father, that You'll stir them up. Lord, we need You now. We're asking, Lord, Your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.